Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, who has spent seemingly the last month in Paris, covering anything you could possibly think of over there in the Olympics. Gentry, welcome back. Have you gotten reaccustomed to the central time zone? How are we doing?
Yeah, it's been a work in progress here in the last week. It's been getting better each day, but it's about 3 weeks over there. You know, it's tough work, but someone had to do it.
Tough work. Did you have any
breakdancing?
Desserts of it?
Yeah.
Did you cover breakdancing?
No. You know what? I've been asked that probably more than any question. Clark Lee asked me that question.
Really?
Did you cover the breaking? And, you know, I remember the team we had, two or three people did cover that. That was, I remember thinking at the time, I was like, gosh, is there that much interest? There's absolutely that much interest for a sport that I don't think you're going to see again in the Olympics.
I would have loved to have seen your breakdown of that.
That freaking Australian breakdancer ruined it for everyone.
They did. They did. Oh, man. So, Gentry, on the Titans front, obviously still a couple of weeks here before week one against Chicago. It's been a work in progress for the offense, specifically Levis and Ridley, to develop that connection. But based on the joint practices last week, based on what we've seen and heard from Brian Callahan about all that and that process, where do you think this offense is right now, and kind of how do you view the progress they've made in camp to this point as we approach week one against Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I do think in terms of you're installing a brand new offense, so things aren't going to be seamless at this point, and you do see the execution issues that I think most teams would have at this point, but I like what they're doing offensively. I think they've certainly upgraded at the skill positions in terms of being able to be a lot more versatile in what they're doing. And you see that certainly in what they're trying to do. I think you're going to see an offense that throws the ball a lot more short passing to get it going that way. And I think, you know, in terms of running backs, receivers, that they have the players that should be able to do that. I mean, there's always the question about Levis coming into his sophomore season here. And, you know, is he going to be able to build off what he did last year? And I do think that's probably going to be the storyline of this offense for sure as the season develops. But, you know, the first thing that stood out to me, and like say I missed the first few weeks, but to get back out there with them, they just look a lot faster as a team to me. And that's on both sides of the ball, and it's not, you know, always necessarily a good thing in certain areas, especially on defense in the front seven necessarily. But I think offensively it will help them. They have a lot more speed on the perimeter.
What are your impressions of the rookie? Well, actually, how about both rookies, Latham and Sweat? I mean, to me, I mean, first of all, huge additions in terms of just overall, you know, poundage to the football team. But also, I think both guys are going to be key this year. What do you think as you watch those guys play?
Yeah, I mean, Latham, ever since he got here, has shown zero signs that he doesn't belong in this league. I mean, he looks the part, he sounds the part, he acts the part. I mean, like he's a guy that I think you can put in that spot, and he'll be a reliable, good player for a very long time. I think he's what they hoped and what they thought, and you know, there will certainly be growing pains for any rookie left tackle in this league. We're going to see that. but to think that, you know, that they've certainly gotten a lot better at that spot. I think that was a good pick. Yeah, Sweat, you don't know as so much just because, you know, there's always that question, how can he stay out there? How long can he stay out there? Is he going to be able to make the impact they're going to need him to make, quite frankly? Because there's an area of this team I'm concerned about from what I've seen so far. It's certainly on the defensive side of the ball. They don't look as stout up front in terms of stopping the run. I think there are real questions in the middle of the defense, inside linebacker. And, you know, this is a defense that has done a good job against the run for a lot of the last few years. If you take that away, you got some questions at pass rush, and you got a secondary where the corners aren't even practicing. You know, other than that, it's okay.
So how do you view the decisions coming up for Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, just in terms of wide receiver? Like, how many receivers are you going to keep? It feels like Kyle Phillips, who's got a hamstring injury he's dealing with now, Kyrus Jackson, like all these guys, Jaquan Jackson, play the same position. Like, they're right, they're in the slot. Mm-hmm. So how do you view how that complicates things? And I guess, you know, on the tight end front, are they keeping three? Are they keeping four? What about just the roster decisions coming up for Rand Carthon and for Brian Callahan?
Yeah, receiver, I guess the number six sounds about right in terms of active roster. I think Callahan may have dropped that number at some point. Seems like I've heard that. So I think that's kind of what you're looking at. And it's a spot where you know five pretty well who that's going to be. So you're really talking about all those slot receiver types kind of competing for that last spot. And it really hurts Kyle Phillips that he got banged up. The days that I was out there last week, he was looking pretty good for a couple of days. He was also starting to get some more reps. Tyler Boyd was out. And Phillips seemed to be that kind of next guy in there for at least what I was watching. And, then he gets hurt, leaves the field. And, you know, he's got a hamstring, going to miss a couple preseason games probably. That's going to be pretty costly for him, I think, in this, because I think it's pretty close competition. When you see this sort of thing, I think the real hint here is to look at who's returning kicks. And that if Kyle Phillips, if this is it for him with the Titans, we're going to look back at the fact that he was supposed to be the big punt returner. He had a great return in his very first game, and then he just stopped being able to catch punts. And the previous regime just couldn't feel comfortable putting him back there. And now you look, and you got the rookie Jackson, and you got Kyrus Jackson. Both have been returning kicks this preseason. So that tells me they're more in the plans than Kyle Phillips is.
Yeah, of course, they were comfortable putting it back there when they should have had no returner back there. Not to take shots at Aukerman after he's gone, you know, but that was a bad Aukerman moment, yes. Yeah, did you notice Gentry PK yelling? He's going to yell Aukerman every time they make a special teams mistake now for the rest of time. So I don't know if you enjoyed that in the press box the other night, but PK, more positive contributions to the to the discussion. Sticking at receiver. Treylon Burks, speaking of hints, you know, and I know Callahan explained it, you know, different position, all that stuff, and NWI. But I put a little stock in Burks not playing, and with the idea that, like, he is important. And they look at him as a guy who, well, obviously if Hopkins is hurt, but even if he's not hurt, like a guy who is going to have some kind of a role. Am I overanalyzing that?
No, I agree with that. You know, look, Treylon Burks has not been a dude for this team, but he still could be. We see it on the practice field. I mean, just last week with the joint practice with Seattle, you know, to me, at least on Thursday, the best player on the field was the DB for the Seahawks, Witherspoon, who was all over the place. And the one player on the Titans that was able to have some success against him in coverage was Treylon Burks. And he got asked about that afterwards and said, well, you know, I'm just as good as he is. And there's a lot of value in that league when you have a player who can say something like that and truly believe it. Because if he believes it, the other team is going to believe it too. And in terms of matchups, Treylon Burks is still somebody that the other teams are going to have to worry about because of everything he's able to do on the field. He's just got to go do it. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be the player they're expecting him to be. But I think the idea that he wouldn't have a future in an offense that's going to throw it as much as they're going to try to throw it this year, it just never made much sense. You want a player like that.
So, Gentry, are they keeping three quarterbacks? Is Malik going to get cut? How do you view how that race is going right now for the Titans?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the bigger surprises to me, Robbie, that's, you know, leaving and then coming back. You know, you're kind of just picking up the book after the first few chapters. That's probably the biggest surprise to me, that I've been asked a lot about that here, because I would not have expected that. I think going into this preseason, I think it was pretty obvious Rudolph was going to be – it didn't come here to be anything but the number two. And I don't think many people really gave that, you know, the talk of a competition there really, you know, very much credence. But I think Willis has played pretty well. I mean, from what I saw last week, the fact that I think he probably got the better of him in a couple of practices, at least that I've seen. But, again, it's maybe you do keep three, but it's just so hard to not see Rudolph being the number two. I think that was the plan all along. And I think from everything we've seen of, you know, Brian Kelly, and there will be some curveballs when it comes to the 53. There always are. But a lot of what I've noticed in the pecking order and just kind of what they're talking about, they've kind of stuck with the plan in most cases. There really hasn't been a lot of dramatic movement. And I think the kicker is a good example the other night. You know, in the emotion of the moment, it would have been real easy to say, yeah, you know, this kid's really pushing Nick Folk. And he didn't say that. He said it's Nick Folk's job. And I think there's a lot of spots on this team where we can make a lot of, you know, assumptions and talk about things, but I think it's going to settle back where it was supposed to originally, if that makes sense.
Well, Gentry, welcome back. I've heard comparisons between, you know, the volleyball venue with the Eiffel Tower in the background and St. Thomas Sports Park with the pond over there. Very similar. So welcome back. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
The scent is dirtier, at least.
Maybe so.
All right, you bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee.
Speaking of dirty water.
Speaking of dirty water.
That's the theme this week.
Love that flowing around. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on the Titans. Some people panicking that we didn't talk about the Titans for 30 minutes.
Oh, so sorry.
We'll get back into that coming up next. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Jacksonville. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Some Dirty Laundry by Nickelback bringing us back in. What do we think, Rex Road?
See, I love the song. I love the Don Henley version. Yeah. I love that song.
It's kind of a banger, I know.
Look, it's better than any song Nickelback wrote, so I guess we'll give them credit for...
It's kind of a banger. Sounds good. I like the version of... Dirty Laundry.
It's like the Smooth Criminal. Whoever remade that of Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal. Yeah. I think it was Smooth, right? Wasn't that? Yeah. There one that's like. Yeah. All right. It's not bad.
See? I said liking it for you would be a stretch, but tolerating it, you may be able to do it.
I love the song. So at least I know that Nickelback can pick a song to cover that doesn't suck.
Yeah. There you go.
Congrats.
We've learned that today on the program.
Yay, Nickelback. People got really mad at me, by the way, for including live. And some people at Bush, too. I could throw Nickelback in as part of the one-word triumvirate of suck.
Eric says, that was horrible. Please don't ever play it again. I thought it was pretty good.
Thank you, Gover. Alien Ant Farm. There you go. Smooth Criminal. I kind of like that. That changed the song. See, I think if you're gonna do a remake of a song, like, don't do... Like, I love Weezer, right?
Yeah.
But they did Africa, which is a great song by Toto. Yeah. But they basically just did the exact same song.
You probably need to leave that one alone.
Right, like Toto Africa is already a perfect song. So Weezer covered it, and it doesn't even sound different. Like, it sounds good if, like, I saw Weezer live at Ascend, and they played it, and it was awesome. But it's like, you just played the exact same song.
Yeah.
If you're going to remake a song, make it your own. I guess this kind of—
Nickelback did.
They did. The problem is Nickelback making something their own makes something suck, but it's fine.
Tune in to Chase and Big Joe show from 9 to 11 for your chance to win tickets to see Sammy Hagar at Bridgestone Arena on August 28th. Contest presented by Green Trees. Appreciate Gentry Estes for being with us in the last segment. We are taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Apparently, Carrie Underwood does a Dirty Laundry performance as well.
Okay, that same exact song?
Probably better than Nickelback.
Okay, yeah. I'd like to hear it. I'd like to hear it.
Apparently, it's a very coverable song.
Yeah.
People love some Don Henley.
Damn good song.
It is a good song.
Early 80s.
Very, very good song.
Awesome video. MTV.
Yes.
Look it up.
What about you? I'll ask you the same question I asked Gentry. Has the offense, in your mind, made the progress that you expected through training camp? Are they ahead of schedule, behind schedule? How do you kind of view how the offense has come along to this point?
I wish I had a good answer for that. Are they ahead of schedule? It's a new offense going in. The quarterback, to me, appears to have done all the homework and appears to be in pretty good command. I don't see a lot of play. I haven't seen a lot of plays where it seems like Levis, you know, isn't on top of like what they're supposed to be doing or what he's looking at. It's just a matter of, you know, can you execute? Obviously, the Levis Ridley thing is something we've talked about ad nauseum, but that would be part of it.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate that Hopkins has not been able to work in this offense, even though Levis and Hopkins have chemistry. It's still them in a new system, and now Boyd has been missing too. So I think it's right in the range. And especially, look, I think that the offensive line is starting to look like a National Football League offensive line. Not a great one, not necessarily a good one. Well, but as we all know, you get to so-so and you have made a big leap if you're the Tennessee Titans up front. And I think that we actually have seen, I think Nicholas Petit-Frere, like you compare like early in camp, John Ojukwu was at right tackle. I mean, there's a big gap between those two.
Yeah.
So that's maybe it's more of an indictment of Ojukwu than it is a endorsement of Petit-Frere, but there's a big gap. And I, again, like Gentry said, Latham is going to be good. He's going to be a good player. I think Skoronski is too.
Well, I have good news for Titans fans and for you.
Okay.
If the Titans want to add depth to their offensive line.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
And they want
I know.
Specifically to add some depth to somebody who has starting left tackle experience in the league, Dennis Daly was released by the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. So he is out there and available. Dennis Daly.
The only thing better would be if it were Andre Dillard. Then you'd be so excited, both because he's available, you can make a joke, and because the Packers no longer employ him. Dennis Daly. Okay, look. You want to take? Since you,
I do want to take, yes.
Dennis Daly would be better than some of the tackles on this team.
Oh, boy.
I mean.
Who?
Ojukwu?
Okay.
Jalen Duncan?
I'm just asking the question.
I will say both of those guys. He's better than those guys.
Okay.
Well, then, in my humble,
go get him.
In my humble opinion, okay, he's not a starting left tackle, as we know very well here.
Doesn't have to be on this team, though.
Well, right. So,
at the moment.
So even though, you know, you kind of have that little smile on your face because you know it's tongue-in-cheek on this, I don't think it's the craziest idea.
Well, you remember last year about this time? Because, you know, Andre Diller was getting smoked by Arden Key this time last year. And we're like, well, don't worry, guys. He can't be worse than Dennis Daly. And it turns out he was.
We need to find the sound of that.
We really do. No, I mean, it's impossible for him to be worse than Dennis Daly was. Turns out it wasn't impossible.
Yeah, it was not.
It was not impossible.
Anything is possible!
I'm just saying that the option is there. If the Titans want to add a veteran offensive lineman, there's the ability to do so. You don't get that chance very often, Rex Road, at this point in the camp, to go out and find somebody on the street who has played starting left tackle minutes and is only 28 years old.
That is, God, is he only 28? Is that right?
Yeah.
So, in all seriousness, this can't be because the Cardinals are really stout up front, right? Like, is Dennis Daly getting worse?
Well, this is again like
I remember when they picked him up. I'm like, wow, that guy was here and he wants him on his team. Okay.
Well, again, like cut down day, it all happens at the same time
right,
now.
Right.
So like these days, anybody that gets released before cut down day, I'm like, why? Like right. What happened? I have not seen any details.
Like
on
it's just that bad.
Why right? He's been released? But I mean they did put out a statement. Jonathan Gannon, head coach, said, quote, I appreciate all his hard work. He's a warrior. He's been fun to be around for the last year and a half. That was it.
Yeah. Won the best personality contest. Jason in Dover says the Titans are definitely behind schedule. See, but the problem, Jason, see, here's the thing. Yeah, the Ridley stuff is there. They gotta get that together. But, like, who's to say that they're not going to have, you know, 6 for 120 and a touch in the first game? It's just – this is the problem with the preseason. There's practice, and they're working on things, and so you can always say, oh, that's good on the D or that's bad on the O, right, or vice versa when everything happens. Then you do joint practices. Look, I think that the Seahawks, we talked about – I think the Seahawks have a couple of the best corners that you're going to find in the league. They really do. And so that's a great look for them. They're not definitely behind schedule. I don't think that that's necessarily true. Like, we're going to – that question – we'll find out in Chicago, you know. And I'm sure that, like, whatever they do in Chicago, you would hope. I mean, if you're, you know, well-coached team and all that, like a month later it'll be better than that. A lot of these teams in this league, I mean, it's just like the practices are so different now. The lack of contact and all that stuff for offensive line play, it takes a while. It's really hard to answer the question.
Trevor says, I'm rooting for a Dennis Daly, Andre Dillard team-up. For your Packers, Robbie. Together, maybe they can form one competent player.
Oh, my goodness.
Why do you hate Jordan Love so much? What do you do to
sneak
you?
Sneak those guys into the same huge, oversized
they
uniform.
Got a trench coat out there.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
God, that guy's huge. Who is that?
Wow, that's amazing punch with four arms.
6'5", 7'3". Maybe they could get in front of somebody then at that point.
Maybe. Throw one of them.
You imagine
one of them throws the other.
Art Key had to go up against both of them at the same time. He'd have a lot of trouble. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next, including a trivia question that I don't know the answer to from Joe Rexroad. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063 the game.
Nick Kieser comes through in the clutch. Don't drink the water, Dave Matthews, man. Absolutely fantastic. How could I not have thought? Thank you, Dane in Nolensville. How could I not have thought of this? Like, Katie would kill me. By the way, this is one of Katie's least favorite Dave songs. Sticking with the Dave theme, someone on the text line mentioned the Sledgehammer. You know the song Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel?
Yeah.
Dave Matthews Band cover that. And I was like, dude, who do you think you're talking to, bro? Oh, I've seen their Sledgehammer multiple times, and it's awesome.
Do you have, like, a tally going? I may have asked you this before, but, like, the amount of Dave Matthews Band shows you've been to? Like, I know Gover's been to, like, 50 of them.
Yeah, Katie's been to way more than me. Like, before we were an item. She was in college, like she's a, you know, so she's way ahead of me. I think she might have her total, and I think it might be in that range, something like that.
That's a lot.
For me, probably, I don't have a tally, but I'm going to guess, I mean, you're talking like 20-plus years of it first being dragged and then being like, oh, now I'm a huge nerd of Dave Matthews because they're awesome. Probably, man, I mean, I might be in the high 30s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I might be.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Hey, man, don't miss a Dave show. I tell you all the time, I'll keep I'm just going to have to do a Dave Matthews Band, you know, rant every quarter. Like, if you like music and incredible musicianship, you will be blown away every time.
I got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby X at First Horizon Park coming up on Saturday, August 31st. The participants include Manny Ramirez, Andrew Jones, Nick Swisher, Pedro Alvarez, among many others. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby X coming up at First Horizon Park on Saturday, August the 31st. Chase said, you've seen Dave Matthews' Sledgehammer? How about that?
Easy. Easy. Aren't you supposed to be management, like, you know, classing this joint up? Don't bring our show into the gutter. We're over here trying to play songs about poopy water all day. Someone's asking for us to play my rap song to Katie. No. No, that is off limits now on the program. Okay.
By the way, Gover says it's not 50 Dave Matthews Band shows. It's 42 that he said.
Oh, God. So he's actually, I don't think he's that much ahead of me. I should have kept track, but like the first, yeah, I don't know. I just never did. Katie knows her number. It's pretty ridiculous. We're actually waiting to find out when the fall the fall tour comes out. We might go try to see him in Columbus, Ohio. Just saying. Oh, and Katie will be seeing him at Franklin. Unfortunately, it's a football
first
Saturday.
Yeah.
No, Franklin, the festival in the fall.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Gosh darn it. I know someone in the text line will bail me out. They do it every fall in Franklin.
I'm sure they do.
God dang it.
There's too many festivals around here. I can't keep up with all of them.
There are. I know.
There's a lot of festivals around here. You have a trivia question that I don't know the answer to regarding Pro Football Focus.
Pilgrimage.
There you go. Pilgrimage Festival.
Dave will be there this year. Very exciting. Okay. The Titans, defensive players against the Seahawks, the second highest PFF grade. Can you figure that out?
Trey Avery.
Dude, how did you do that? Do you seriously?
Is that really it?
Yes.
No, I did not know. That's a total guess.
Yes.
I mean, he played the whole game, so I figured he'd be up there somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's true. I guess it's like quantity over quality kind of thing.
I guess so. Our guy Trey Avery making a push?
Is that – again, look, man, I didn't grade every one of his snaps. So the thing is about corner is that you can – if you really are graded closely, then it's possible that in that game he had so many snaps the ball didn't come his way. That's great snaps. But we did see some pretty bad ones from him. We've seen some pretty bad snaps from Trey Avery the whole preseason. I'm sorry, John Glennon.
They can't all be great.
To me, he's fallen down the depth chart. That's part of why we saw him so much on the field in that game. But like that, to me, is a pretty good example of why I laugh at PFF.
Who's number one?
It might have been Jalen Harrell. Which, okay. I mean, that makes sense.
That kind of adds up.
Yeah, I think it was Jalen Harrell.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. But I just saw Trey Avery number two, and I'm like, okay, this has to be a topic. We could take it ripping PFF. We could take it talking
Ryan?
About the
– Right. Did you see Trey Avery this week?
By the way, he's been gone. We miss Johnny. We miss
yeah,
Johnny
come on,
G.
John.
Johnny G takes his vacation right during the middle of football camp. It's actually kind of brilliant.
It's a veteran move.
Yeah, like Kaharski's complaining about that. I'm like, well, we're the suckers who are here, you know, watching them
still
practice
got 3 again. 3 weeks till they play
yeah.
game.
So good for you, Johnny G.
Well, good for Trey Avery getting a high PFF score.
When you come back, Johnny G, your guy may not be here. Yeah. It's just the PFF instant game grades it's some of the dumbest stuff. They do some good things. It's a worthwhile service for some of the things that they track, for sure. The instant grades off games, astoundingly bad at times.
I didn't know they did that for preseason games. I guess
sure,
I should have known
not?
Better.
Sure.
But I was not aware that they put that much effort in for the preseason games. Good
hey,
to know.
Hey, man, it's their pre. You know, they got to get ready for the season, too. So.
That's true. So is Gabe Judy Lally clearly ahead of Avery and your,
I think
to
so.
You at this point?
I think so. And, you know, it's like –
like, has he made the team?
Judy I think Lally? So.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And this is where it does get into do I have the full breakdown of who Gabe Judy Lally was repping against as opposed to Trey Avery? Because certainly Trey Avery was ahead of him. And that's where sometimes it's like, wow, he's making a lot of plays. Yeah, well, how much of that was with the threes against the threes, you
right.
know? So that's where camp can be deceiving unless you really want to get granular and compare two guys like that and split the hairs. But I think that from the wider view of just watching them in general, I think Gabe Judy Lally has been the better player than Trey Avery. Yes. I think he's making the team. I still would guess Avery makes it. I mean, how many corners?
That would be six.
Talking? He would be the six. You know, considering the I think some of these positions, you have to think about it in terms of how injury prone are the guys at the top of the depth chart. And the Titans,
well,
so if, you know, we know one guy who isn't in camp, basically, and he played all last season, but obviously that's a thing. And then Owuzie's had the calf the whole camp.
Owuzie, though, has been, in terms of just the games played, I think has been relatively durable throughout his career.
He's had up and down. if you look at it, he's had a couple seasons where he missed pretty big chunks of time. Recently, I think it's been better.
Now I'm looking at it. He has had some seasons where he's missed some time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe disregard everything I just said. He did play 15 games last year. And only 8 games the year before that. And only only 8 games in 2020.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Trey, if you get ready to play.
Need you out there, son.
We're discovering things, you know, in real time. Yeah.
Who was I thinking of that doesn't miss games?
Roger McCreary doesn't at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one guy who you hope will be durable. But, yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, the 6 corners, and I think it would be.
I mean, Snead doesn't miss a whole lot of games.
Well, that's the thing. Snead is just not a factor. I mean, do they, like this week or next week, do they start to weave him into practice a little bit? I don't know. I guess I get why you wouldn't. I thought maybe we'd see one day against Seattle sort of. Yeah,
I would have loved to have seen it.
Right, it would have been fun. It would have been a lot of fun to see him against those. But I guess I can also see, you know what, that's high leverage, high intensity work for a guy that you're trying to get to the starting line.
Yep.
So, as far as I know, he'll play every game this year. But a Woozy is no sure bet based on his history.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Something to get to on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Be a hero and save a life tomorrow at the 11th annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. Every 2 seconds, someone is in need of blood. And in the last 11 years, this drive alone has collected over 3,000 units of blood, saving up to 9,000 lives. The drive will be held at John P. Holt Brentwood Library tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., so lots of opportunity for you to get out there. 102.5 The Game will be on hand from noon to 2 with swag to give away and a chance to win free concert tickets as well. So make sure you check that out. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, Bavarian Beer House. Nashville's only authentic German beer hall. Place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals for a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last.
Personal text line blowing up. First of all, Caroline, my beloved Caroline, who I wished happy birthday to yesterday, says
Rex Road. Caroline Rex Road.
Yes, thank you. Pilgrimage dummy. That's what she texts me. Katie texts me pilgrimage too, and she says her number. This is Katie's number.
Okay.
I don't believe this. She says 84.
84 Dave Matthews Band shows?
We went to 5 last summer. So if you did that, you know, every summer, I mean, you'd be in triple digits. But 84?
That's a lot.
Dude. I mean, even.
So you got some work to do. I mean, you're not going to catch
her. Well, I'm not going to go. Yeah, well, I'm not going,
without her.
I'll take
Katie, Caroline. You stay at the house.
Take Caroline.
Yeah. Rex Road.
Yeah. Gover says number 43 will be the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. I'm so jealous of you, Gover. We talked about trying to do that. They're getting inducted way too late in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But that's awesome, Gover. I'm excited for you.
615-737-1025, our phone number.
And now we got a lot of sledgehammer jokes on the text line.
A lot of that going on.
Personal and otherwise.
Right now, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We talked about this earlier, the Austin Mock projection for the Titans. They ran their models at theathletic.com. Titans at 6.8 wins, according to the model, the third fewest in the AFC. So another example of what we talked about all offseason to this point, the expectations for the Titans not going to be super high heading into this season. You know, it was interesting, you know, Gentry seemed still based on, you know, even all the hype from Sweat in camp. We know what Jeffrey Simmons brings to the table, but Gentry still seemed to be pretty concerned with the defense's ability to stop the run and up the middle at inside linebacker as well. Are you worried about this team's ability to stop the run?
Yeah, that's a good point and a good question. And all my answers today are like, I don't know.
This is why we need football.
Yeah, I'd like to see him play actual football in a game. Obviously, the Sweat addition gives you occupying a lot of space, and with Simmons and Sweat, you hope if you're the Titans that's dynamic and that pushes the pocket on passing downs, but also you hope that it's effective in stopping the run. Like, to me, you know, if Jack Gibbons is going to be your starting, one of your starting inside linebackers, that's where he better be really freaking good. We know that Jack Gibbons has limitations in space,
yep,
and I think in coverage, but like that's where you hope that his instincts and his, you know, physicality would be an asset there. So I don't know. They have been so good for the most part against the run, but it's a totally different defense, and there's a lot of changes in personnel. The rule is always, I mean, it always works. Running the football, you have to do it to some extent. And I do think the Titans, some of their quote-unquote running game will be some of the short passing to the backs. That'll be an extension of the running game. But also, you cannot get run on. If you get run on in this league, then you're just going to get torn up all over the place.
Well, we've gone through the Titans schedule, and we've looked at the quarterbacks that they're playing. Just listen to these, the first 5 weeks of the season, the running backs that they're going up against. DeAndre Swift. New York's got Breece Hall. Packers have Josh Jacobs. You know, Miami's got Mostert, and they drafted Jalen Wright, and they've got A-Chain. We need to find out what his actual name is down there.
A-Chain.
They
I'm
were
going
awesome
to A-Chain
last year running the ball.
Yes.
Indy's got Jonathan Taylor. Like, there's your first five games right there. That's pretty good backs that you're going to see early on in the season. So the answer to this question early on, like, in addition to, you know, the Jets have Rodgers, Bears have Caleb Williams, you're going up against Jordan Love and Tua. What is Anthony Richardson going to be? Obviously, quarterback's most important. Pretty darn good backs they're going up in the first 5 weeks of the season as well, that you're going to have to – like, you can't just get gashed for 130 yards in those games and think that you're going to stop those offenses. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to stop the run.
Absolutely. It's absolutely essential. And that has been sort of central to overall pretty good defense for a long period of time. Really, other than the 2020 season when they had their best offense ever, arguably. But other than that, and that year they kind of struggled against the run too. Just a weird year. They just were just so ineffective up front. But gotta be able to stop the run. And this league still has a lot of good running backs. They don't get paid a lot and all that stuff, but like most teams on the schedule have at least one good back.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we saw it last year when Zach Moss ate them alive and looked like Le'Veon Bell out there. Like, you gotta find a way to stop the run if you're the Titans. Otherwise, it just gets you behind the eight ball defensively. So I guess, Gentry brought that up, and that is something that I guess I haven't spent a whole lot of time really thinking about with the Titans on the defensive side of the ball this year is, like, how equipped are they to stop the run? Yeah. And, you know, the guys, I think it's pretty clear, and, you know, they just lost Marlon Davidson the other day too, but, like, the guys behind Simmons and Sweat up the middle on the defensive line, like, how big of a drop-off is, like, it's pretty essential that those two guys stay healthy, Simmons and Sweat, this year.
Right.
Because there's a huge drop-off after that.
Because if they occupy the attention they should, then you've got free guys to make plays. Like, put it very simplistically, right? So, yeah, you hope that those two guys are dominant to the point that they affect both things, you know, passing and running game. Tommy's asking about Campbell starting at linebacker. Look, I'd like to see him get some reps with the ones and get a look. I don't want to overstate, like Kaharski accuses me of overstating how good he is, but the guy makes plays. The guy is an instinctive athletic football player. His athletic numbers are off the charts, or they're awfully high on the chart, and he's instinctive. And right now he's healthy, and that's been his problem. Sure. I'd like to see him get a look. And maybe it's just he'll be one of those guys who, yeah, against the twos, it all looked great, and now you put him in on Sunday, it's not there. But I'd like to see a shot. I'd like to see him get a shot at it.
Jonathan says, if the Titans win week one, how fast does the trend fall on Caleb Williams since everybody thinks the Titans are going to be terrible? This is from Jonathan on the text line. Is Caleb Williams a bust if he loses to the Titans in week one?
Well, there will be overreactions either way.
Yes.
If he plays well and they win, then it's the start of a glorious chapter in NFL history. And
yes.
And there will be people freaking out if they lose. So, but that's true. Like, we are looking at this like, wow, it's an interesting game. And, you know, the Titans are going to throw all this stuff at him and it should be good. a lot of the league is like, oh, wow, Caleb Williams gets kind of a gimme for this first game. So there you go. Caleb, you're going to get that win to start and get going. So if the Titans do go in there and win that game, that is a little bit of a punch in the mouth to a lot of the talk around the league.
The line for Titans-Bears, still at 4.5. Hasn't moved. Maybe it won't.
It's interesting.
I'm sticking by my prediction that by the time game time rolls around, the Bears will be a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, the Bears fans are going to – yeah, once it gets closer, they're going to go overboard. Thank you. Someone's saying I need to clarify. Garrett from Clarksville, make sure you clarify. It's Dave Matthews' concert. Sounds pretty bad saying your wife's number is 84. My goodness. 84 Dave Matthews band concerts.
Dave band concerts.
And Dennis, I really don't appreciate your gyrating Dave Matthews gif like it's some bad thing. He's a pretty good dancer up there, man.
Is he?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, for like a 50-ish year old dude, you know, he's all right.
Okay. All right.
Wait, Jared told the right tackle story again yesterday? Good God. He needs to go ahead and write a children's book entitled "We Don't Have a Right Tackle," where his character is
a down on PT. Now he's got me calling him PT though. That's the problem.
Don't do that. Don't do that. It's NPF. Yeah, the PT thing makes no sense. Was that like Chris Sanders just
AKA
like
PT?
That was like Chris Sanders had the initials wrong in his name or something.
I don't know.
So we're still calling him PT.
I don't know. Maybe tell that story instead of the right tackle story.
Tell it. Yeah, please don't tell that story anymore.
615-737-1025. We'll have you covered all day long here on 1025-1063 The Game. Jason Big Joe is up next. You're listening to 1025-1063 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.